I'm 5 years old. My name is Saturday. Saturday morning. I'm a kid. It happened at 3:25 last Monday. I was on my way home from kindergarten when I noticed it was missing. My lollipop. My teacher, Miss Brown, had given me the lollipop for good behavior. It was a good lollipop, strawberry. I made up my mind to get it back. At 3:29, I checked back at the playground. Two strange kids were playing in the sand pile. I checked their pockets. Just as I thought, they were full of sand. 3:45, there was a man selling ice cream bars at the school gate. I decided to question him. Hello, mister.
What can I do for you, son?
I'm looking for a strawberry, sucker.
What?
I mean, I'm looking for a strawberry sucker.
Get lost.
I marked him down in my book as a possible 518 and went across the street to the candy store. It was 3:59. There were some tough kids playing tap the icebox. It looked suspicious. They had one kid locked in an icebox, and the others were playing taps. I broke up the game and booked them all on a 412. The kid who'd been in the icebox demanded protection. I walked him around the corner. We watched the gang. They started to play hopscotch. It looked phony. Then I knew someone was throwing the game. The kid I was with said he had to leave. Said he had to go finish beating the erasers for Miss Brown. I checked under his fingernails. He was telling the truth. I found chalk dust. 4:06. It was getting late. Still no lollipop. Had to move fast. My friend Donovan came by. He's in the first grade. He had a kitty car with a wagon in back. I jumped in the wagon. All right, Donovan, go to the corner of 14th and Caterpillar and step on it. 14th Street, the neighborhood of our rival school, PS 87. It was a rough section. The school was so tough even the teachers played hooky. It was so tough they printed report cards on sandpaper. I was in over my head. I knew it. At first, the schoolyard looked peaceful enough. I saw the janitor feeding the pigeons. Then I noticed he was feeding them to his family. I told Donovan to pick me up in 10 minutes. It was 4:19. Then I saw him. The toughest kid in the neighborhood. Fatso. He was big. At least 3 feet 6. He was a man mountain. He must have weighed 80 pounds. I could tell he was in second grade. He had that look. Tired, cynical, sophisticated. There was something odd about his face. Something strange about his mouth. Then I saw it. Sticking out of his mouth, my sucker. All right, Fatso. This is it.
Listen, bud. You're asking for a licking.
That's right. I'd like to lick my sucker again, if you don't mind.
Scram, punk.
Listen, Fatso. You tough?
Yeah.
I knew it the minute I looked at you. Would you mind giving me my sucker? I gotta be home in exactly 10 minutes.
Why?
Gotta take my nap. When he started laughing, he took the sucker out of his mouth. I saw my chance. I grabbed the sucker and started to run. Donovan came by just in time. I jumped in the wagon. It was downhill now. It was easy. We got away. I felt good inside. I had it again. My lollipop. The story you have just heard was true. Only the flavor was changed to protect the sucker.
I'm not a juvenile delinquent.
No, 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 I'm not a juvenile delinquent. Just do the thing that's wrong, and you do nothing wrong. Life could be
feel so nice. You be in paradise. I know, because I'm a juvenile delinquent. So listen, girls and boys, you need not be blue. Life is what you make of it. It all depends on you. I know, because I'm not a juvenile delinquent. It's easy to be good. It's hard to be bad. Stay out of trouble and you'll be glad. So take this tip from me and you will see how happy you will be. Ha, ha, ha. Listen, girls and boys.
I might kill everyone I see. You better not cross me. You better just let me be. 'Cause that Twinkie insanity has got a hold on me. I went to the liquor store to buy a pint of gin. But wouldn't you know that owner said the price went up again. Well, something come over me and I stole that gin that day. But when it comes to trial, boys, this is what I'll say. Twinkie insanity has got a hold on me. It's driving me so crazy, I might kill everyone I see. You better not cross me, you better just let me be. 'Cause that Twinkie insanity has got a hold on me. I had me a pretty wife and three adorable kids. But I didn't have no job or work, I'd really hit the skids. Well, dealing dope was my only hope my family, but naturally I got busted and they threw away the key. I should have said, Twinkie insanity has got a hold on me. It's driving me so crazy, I might kill everyone I see. You better not cross me, you better just let me be. 'Cause that Twinkie insanity has got a hold on me. The cop that busted me, he shot Moscone and Harvey Milk, but soon he will be free. Oh, I wish I'd had his lawyers when I was up for trial. I'd stood right up square-shouldered and told him with a smile. Twinkie insanity has got a hold on me. It's driving me so crazy, I might kill everyone I see. You better not cross me, you better just let me be. That Twinkie insanity has got a hold on me. Twinkie insanity has got a hold on me. It's driving me so crazy, I might kill everyone I see. You better not cross me, you better just let me be. 'Cause that Twinkie insanity has got a hold on me.
Are you one of the frightened? Careful now. Please don't walk under the ladder that someone has placed so carelessly against the building wall there. Possibly a sign painter is working there, but that ladder can only bring you trouble. Did you ever hear of the tale of the two robbers? It was in the days of medieval history, the days of darkness and Gothic gloom and death. Their names were Gaspar and Francois. They were young men, but old in the ways of treachery, villainy. They cut throats for fun as well as money. But one April night, Gaspard and Francois rousted and revelled in the infamous tavern of the Côte d'Or. They'd been idle for days, and so had taken recourse in drunken debauchery. Their fingers itched for their curious profession. They hungered to ply their wicked trade. And so, when a fat, wealthy merchant left the tavern, after announcing loudly to one and all his riches in his little house at the end of the town, Gaspard and Francois lurched in pursuit. The Paris streets were dark and ill-lit, but the two drunken thieves followed their prey with eyes long used to the darkness. Happily, the distance was not far. Soon the fat merchant turned into a cobbled courtyard and entered a stone, ivy-covered building. Gaspard and Francois waited patiently. When candlelight flickered in a second-story window, they made their plans. It was the work of a second to climb the wall surrounding the house, and in the darkness of the courtyard they found a crude wooden ladder propped near the barn door. Gaspard placed it gently against the vines until the top rung rested directly below the fat merchant's window. Francois licked his lips greedily and his dirty fingers tightened about the dagger in his hand. He would make short work of the fat merchant. But Gaspard was already mounting the ladder as stealthily as a cat. His knife gleamed in the darkness. He'd very nearly reached the top rung when the casement windows flew open and there was the fat merchant thrusting a lighted torch into his face. Gaspard screamed terribly, lashing out with his knife. But this fat merchant had been rich too long and stayed fat because he'd known how to take care of himself and his money. The long sword in his fat fingers buried itself in Gaspard's chest up to the hilt. At the bottom of the ladder, Francois panicked and scrambled off the rungs, coming around behind the ladder and hiding underneath it, hugging the wall. He stared up above him as the great bulk of Gaspard's dead body sagged against the rungs. The merchant was shouting for the police at the top of his lungs. Francois was frozen where he stood, the drunkenness of the evening still boiling in his blood. His eyes flashed about the courtyard looking for the best avenue of escape, and then Gaspard's body, unevenly balanced on the ladder, toppled through the space of one set of rungs and landed heavily on his partner, Francois. Francois's eyes bulged with surprise, and a bloody moan bubbled from his dirty throat as the point of the sword jutting from Gaspard's back knifed into his heart. When the police arrived to see what the commotion was, they found Gaspard and Francois huddled behind the ladder, jammed against the wall, like two frightened children locked in each other's arms against the cold. And there you are. Legend has it, of course, that Francois walked under a ladder and died terribly, but, well, you've heard the story, and so please be careful. You never can tell, can you? Well, upon my soul, here comes the sign painter to get his ladder, and do you know, my friend, you've been standing under it for the longest time.
Black man in South Dakota, running from the law across the border. I
I had a Chevrolet Cadillac with a V8 motor. I was the only black man in South Dakota. I had a perfect three-piece suit. Stacy Adams shoes. And they just loved to come see me sing them rhythm and blues. People would come from miles around. See this black boy getting down. I fell in love with a girl named Margot. Prettiest little thing in Fargo. But when you heard I was from Chicago, the whole damn state said, hell no. I was an old black man in South Dakota, running from the law across the border. I had five white kickers and an Indian roadie and a mean bodyguard by the name of Cody. Run.
To die from the start, they had no thought of others. They lived in each other's hearts. They died as they lived in violence. They danced to a crazy tune, and folks who were there remember and say that they died too soon.
Bonnie and Clyde were lovers, destined to die from the start. They had no thought of others. They lived in each other's hearts.
Bonnie and Clyde were lovers, living from day to day. The posses of three states chased them and blasted their lives away. Their shots broke the quiet evening. Their car burned the country road, and they never dreamed they'd harvest the fruit from the seed they sowed.
Bonnie and Clyde were lovers, destined to die from the start. They had no thought of others. They lived in each other's hearts.
Oh, Mr. Moss betrayed them. He thought he was doing right. He sold them out to the lawman. Then he stole away in the night. Bonnie and Clyde were lovers, but ambushed they had no chance. There in the woods they perished and ended their short romance.
Bonnie and Clyde were lovers, destined to die from the start.
They had no thought of others. They lived in each other's heart.
They died as they lived together, their blood mingling in the sand. Her hand on her sawed-off shotgun, still bare of a wedding band. 50 bullets in Bonnie, 51 slugs in Clyde. They hunted them down like varmints. They've gone on their last joyride.
Bonnie and Clyde were lovers, destined to die from the start. They had no thought of others. They lived in each other's hearts.
They died as they lived together, their blood mingling in the sand. Her hand on her sawed-off shotgun, still bare of a wedding band. Still bare of a wedding band.
Trying to beat the heat, and it's just a family felony. I think the neighbors would all have to agree. Just a little family felony.
I won't tell on you, don't you tell on me. Junior's helping Dad, hiding water lines up a ravine. Well, life ain't too bad on 40 acres with an outdoor scene, a garden here and there, with water dripping from a local spring and tender love and care is all it takes to keep the ladies green. And it's just a family felony. I think the neighbors would all have to agree. Just a little family felony. I won't tell on you, don't you tell on me. Sis is helping Ma, clipping flowers with the local gals. Well, maybe against the law, but hey, at least they're working with their pals. Grandma's helping too. You know, her dear old dad used to bootleg booze. And just between me and you, they're all happy with the life they choose. And it's just a family felony. I think the neighbors would all have to agree. Just a little family felony. I won't tell on you, don't you tell on me.
It's just a family felony. A little family felony. Just a little family felony. I won't tell on you, don't you tell on me.
Pump, I was feeling quite at ease. I rolled out my window and told the man 50 cents worth, please. Then I
I jumped my partner with his trusty pellet gun. I said, boy, this is a hold up. Keep a pumping and don't run. And now I wish I was somewhere other than here. $15 and a can of STP, a big old jar of cashew nuts and a Japanese TV. Feeling we had pulled the biggest heist of our career. We're wanted men, we'll strike again, but first let's have a beer. Now I wish I was somewhere other than here. Sheriff, and he's holding our TV. Roughed us, then he cuffed us, and he took us off to jail. No pictures on a poster, no reward and no bail. Now I wish I was somewhere other than here. Down in some honky tonk, sipping on a beer. Yes, I wish I was somewhere other than here.
Now it's time for Mr. Trace. Keener than most persons. In the case he calls the Stolen False Teeth Murder Clue. Scene is in Mr. Trace's private office as he calls for his assistant, Spike Delancey.
Yes, boss, did you call?
Yes, Spike. I've been having trouble, as you probably have been able to see.
Saints preserve us, boss. Your smile is different.
Someone, Spike, has stolen my prosthetic appliance.
You don't say, boss, that you're without your teeth.
That's exactly what I say, Spike.
Well, who would want your teeth, Bot?
I don't know who could pull a dastardly trick like this.
Where did you last see them, Bot?
Well, I had lunch at the lunch counter downstairs. Then I came up to the office, and about a half hour later, I noticed that they were missing.
Saints preserve us, Bot.
There's only one clue, Spike.
Yet there...
This set of fingerprints on the edge of my desk.
Saints preserve us, boss. Fingerprints on the edge of your desk.
Yes, I want you to run through our file and see if you can place them with any of the criminals we've dealt with in the past.
All right, boss, I'll be right back. Just as soon as I check through the file, see if I can match up those, boss.
That's what I want you to do, Spike. If I could only find those, I could get back to my job of crime detecting. Oh, any luck, Spike?
Turn around, pally, you say, Spike. What?
Who are you? What do you want here? You, lurking there behind the gray curtains covering my window.
What?
You, with the dagger in your hand.
You look so insipid the way you talk.
Insipid, you say?
Yes. You don't look like the old Mr. Keenly, who's tracer than most persons.
I'm as traced as any lost person.
You're a person,
And I'll be people if you're going to trace around here, Lost.
I certainly think you're barking up the wrong tree.
Just a moment, people. I've traced you long enough. From now on, I'm keen. Keen to it all. You've lost to that, people?
Yes, I'll curse along with you on that. But wait until my assistant Spike Delancer gets back.
He ain't coming back.
You mean...
He's keened, people. Lost.
I'm treated. At last.
Today we heard part one of a two-part story from the files of Mr. Trace, keener than most persons. The case he calls the Stolen False Teeth Murder Clue.
Tonight's the night, man. Tonight's the night.
Cause the blood will flow like a water. Heads will be cracking on the ground. For we're all in a street fight tonight. Here on the east side of town. The sharks are gonna cut the dragons down. Now the sharks are a mean and deadly outfit. And the dragons don't know what they're headed for. But they'll find out tonight as we catch them in a fight. Down around the back of Louis' store. We're gonna cut them down and even out the score. There's Louis Bella. He's got a lot of friends. I hope he's got a lot of guts. We'll fight him till the end. Look, there's the dragon. They sent him on patrol. Let's see how many of the cats are gonna pay this toll. The blood will flow like a water. Heads will be cracking on the ground. For we're all in a street fight tonight. Here on the east side of town. Deadly outfit, and them dragons don't know what they're headed for, but they'll find out tonight as we catch them in a fight, down around the back of Louis' store, we're gonna cut them down and even up the score.
Street Boy!
Arrest me right away, I have killed a security guard, handcuffed me and put me in the police car. Take my ass to jail. Put me behind bars.
Incarcerate my ass. Incarcerate my ass. Incarcerate.
guilty of first-degree murder. Set a date for a sentencing hearing. A month later, send me to prison for 105 years.
Keep your hands off my car. I'm tired of telling you, tired of warning you, it's gone a bit too far. How many times do I have to tell you to keep your hands off my car? I'm talking to the vandalizers, talking to the joyriders, talking about you bums. While we sleep, you come out like creeps, you're the lowest of low life scum. Keep your hands off my car. Keep your hands off my car. Don't you push me too far. Keep your hands off my car. Now face to face, I wanna meet. And I hope you're hungry, cause you're gonna taste defeat. If it's the radio you want, just ask. I'll buy you one, deliver it myself, then shove it up your... Keep your hands off my car. Keep your hands off my car. Don't you push me too far. Keep your hands off my car. Don't break in, don't steal in, don't siphon my gas. Don't slash the tires or smash in the glass. Just keep your hands off my car. Keep your hands off my car. Don't you push me too far. Keep your hands off my car.
All right, hold it right there, hold it right there. All right, grab the wall, grab some wall. All right, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see it was you. Hey, you can't be too careful these days, you know? Crime is running rampant everywhere, everybody's walking around, hitting each other over the head. Oh, it's enough to make you puke. Anyway, that's obviously not that bad, depends on who you listen to. So tonight we're dealing with crime, because apparently nobody wants to do it anymore, and the criminals are now running the asylum, so what the hell? Can't beat them? Join them, right? Start out with a guy named Ricky Vera. Ricky Vera, dragnet, goes to kindergarten and stays there. I'm not a juvenile delinquent, he says. That was old stuff from the Amboy Dukes, featuring the that guitar guy that nobody can stand and whose name shall not be mentioned. Art Peterson, talking about Twinkie insanity. Remember the Harvey Milk, Dan White thing? That was the defense that they tried to mount. And, of course, they were laughed at perpetually, still to this day. We heard from Boris Karloff, story of the latter, and how justice finds a way. The only black man in South Dakota was Andre Williams. And, of course, nowadays that would be a crime, but it wasn't then, apparently. We heard from Johnny Legend, story of Bonnie and Clyde. Family Felony was the Camo Cowboys. Back in the pre-legalization days, things were illegal, and it was like armed camps and stuff. I'm glad those days are gone, at least for now. Grape Filling Station Hold Up, Jimmy Buffett. Who says they don't play the hits? We heard from Bob and Ray, Mr. Trace, keener than most person. That one always cracks me up. I don't care where I am, in the bus, on the toilet, something, any at dinner, that cracks me up, okay? Phil Campos, that was the Street Fight song. Wesley Willis, Incarcerate My Ass. Go ahead, I dare you, incarcerate my ass. Let's see, the Parking Ticket Blues was Mark Handley and the Bone Idols. You heard me right, friends. And Keep Your Hands Off My Car, from some anonymous person, okay? And, yeah, you better keep your hands off my car. We're going to have to move on to the next level, which is pretty much killers. A lot of killers in the thing here. A lot of them with guns, but not all of them. So here, this is how it starts.
Back in 1937, on a cold, frosty morn, in a little four-room farmhouse was a baby boy born. Had his parents known the grief and shame this child would bring to them, they would have traded with the devil for a child to replace him. But of course they couldn't know what kind of monster was their child. As a baby he was normal, though his eyes were bleak and wild. Until his seventh birthday, he'd done nothing really wrong. Then he killed his little sister with a broken pitchfork prong. And as his sister lay there dying in the awful crimson flood, he noticed how his hands and arms were stained with drops of blood. Well, he couldn't face his mother, couldn't tell her what he'd done. So he crept into the house and got his father's old shotgun. Now the gun was always loaded with a heavy powder charge. It was used to kill the vicious beast that roamed the hills at large. When the boy's mother happened to step out the kitchen door, he pressed down upon the trigger, and his mother lived no more. With the echo of the shotgun blast still ringing in his ears, little killer watched his father find his mother and shed tears. He crept up behind his father with a razor-sharpened axe, just like Lizzie Borden gave his father 40 whacks. To this day, no one has seen that little monster anywhere. Though it's known he's still about, he's left a body here and there. And although it isn't likely it could ever happen to you, if you find a dead man, just remember, I can kill you too.
The cold steel lines, the rail bed was frozen with ice. In the distance, an engine was keeping good time. The steam whistle moaned just twice. Down in the cut, past the old trestle bridge, 12 fine horses stood. Masked men shivered in the cold on the ridge, not far from the Glendale woods. The brass lamp shone from the swaying train when the driver saw the red light. Her iron brakes sparked like silver rain, and the meadows screamed through the night. The baggage man peered out to look for the fault when fear froze up his heart. He was staring down the barrel of an army Colt that threatened to tear him apart. We will burn your train to cinders. So throw the scrambled aboard. Men were the sweating and the women shed tears, and a preacher prayed to the Lord. When they opened the safe, there was nothing for them, so they strolled down through the train. What a miserable sight, these desperate men robbing old folks for their gold watch chains.
We will burn your train to cinders.
Soul, some say his spirit survived.
But we all know he was nothing but a Missouri farm boy, just fighting to stay alive. High above that railroad bed, on a ridge where the pines grow tall. If you listen to the wind, there's a ghost of a chance you can still hear old Jesse call.
Last Saturday night, saw a girl trying to get home. Man, she really had it. A half a dress, one stocking. Fortunately, she had on underwear. She had on her go-go boots. Standing on the corner waiting for the light to change so she could make it across the street. Before the light changed, I caught up with her. Caught her by the left hand with my right hand. With my left hand, I pointed my 45 between her eyes. I said, "Walk, sister. Don't shoot." I said, "Shut up and listen. Walk, sister." "All right." So I marches it to the nearest alley. I say, "All right, give it up and tell me where it's at." "Don't shoot. Oh, don't kill me. I'll let you." I said, "Shut up." "No." "Then what?" "I want that transistor radio." "All right." Next day I went to City Hall. Pointed it between the eyes, county clerk. "All right, brother, give it up and tell me where it's at." "But don't shoot, don't kill me. I'm married to anybody you want to hear. You have your license plate right here." "Shut up, no." "Then what?" "I want that transistor radio." Then I went down to police headquarters. I threw that same 45 between the eyes of the chief jailer. "Oh, don't shoot, don't kill me. Here's the key, let every man in there out. I don't give a damn." "Shut up, no." "Then what?" I want that transistor radio. You'll never know about that transistor radio. You'll never know what that boy will ever want. All that boy will ever want is a transistor radio. Oh. What the First National Bank? I want that transistor radio. And when I died, the old bald head Baptist preacher standing beside my grave, reading this ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Every time the fool said a word, he had to cuss. Amen. There my old lady standing beside the grave. She was just crying and boo-hooing, turning flips, inhaling dust, spitting out dirt, grass in my hair, dirt in the mouth, running out the nose. Reverend walks over to her and said, "Cool it. What's the matter? Just because he's dead, you think that too is going to be the reason why you have to go?" She said, no. He said, "Then what?" "He's taking with him my transistor radio. Yo. Transistor radio." Tune in.
A long time ago, back in 1882, there was a gun-toting critter almost everybody knew. He'd sneak up on you quietly and shoot you in the back. He was a no-good gun-toting critter called Jack. Do it, I can do it. Two big 44s hung on his hip.
Do it, I can do it.
A big black mustache hung on his lip.
Do it, I can do it.
He never combed his hair and he never took a bath.
Do it, I can do it.
He was a no good gun toting critter called Jack.
Do it, I can do it.
He coming down a shooting, a hollering and a hooting. The people they all scattered and run. The sheriff tried to fool him, but Jackie boy he fooled him and caught another notch of phony gun. Gallivant and groovy on a tall skinny horse.
Do it, I can do it.
And all the cats in town knew that Jackson was bald.
Do it, I can do it.
He chased a train on foot till it run out of track.
Do it, I can do it.
He was a no good gun toting critter called Jack.
Do it, I can do it.
Look at that cowboy go.
Do it, I can do it.
He's wheeling on all four.
Do it, I can do it. Is he bad?
Do a horse have ankles?
Do it, I can do it.
mustache.
Like horses, Bill.
Farm lived a man named Ed Gain. The Plainfield town folks say he's kind of strange. Things ain't been the same since his mama died. She left him there alone with her ghost locked inside, digging up bones from the earth below on a cold dark night in a full moon glow. Back down to the old homestead, hell only knows what went on in his head. Skulls on the bedpost, sawed off bones, death mask staring back all in a row. Use the skin of the dead to make his lampshades. Life on the farm's getting downright strange. Ed let the skeletons out of the closet. They're up in the attic, they're hanging from the ceiling. Mama's still locked up down in the basement. Hell only knows what went on in his head. Took to killing when the corpses ran dry. Miss Warden went missing and the folks started wondering why. They found her body hanging in his old woodshed, slotted like a hog and deader than dead. They locked him in chains and led him away. Sent him upstate for the Kremlin sane. Left him there to rot for the rest of his days. Hell only knows what went on in his head.
The night may be warm, or it may be cold. I'm a man who needs someone, a woman to hold. I'm a loner with problems, many so small. But small problems in millions is no living ball. I need someone to cling to help me to bear these troubles and heartaches that tease, drive, and dare. I don't know a woman, and yet I crave on. My mind tells my body, don't stand there, get one. Then all of a sudden, I'm no longer clean. I'm a mass of wild muscle, a human machine. My body is reckless, my mind unaware. In these moments of madness, I fight, claw, and tear. And I'm me again. I've done wrong without knowing and caused so much pain. At last I am captured, no longer to roam. The state penitentiary will now be my home. And the worst thing that happens here in the clink is that you go out of your mind as you start to think. My mind's in a frenzy, my body in fright. And so now I've been labeled strangler in the night. Strength in the night. Strength in the night.
trouble that I'm in. My friends, they told me, they said I could win. They said, don't let her get away with it. But I never should have listened. You can beat it. Take my Bobby away, putting me down, showing everybody his ring. Well, I thought I'd like to scare her a little, but I never meant to hurt her or anything. You can beat her, you can.
Just stop. The young woman walked home that night on that dimly lit street near home, never really knowing that soon her children would have no mother. She had made this lonely walk many times before. She was looking forward to being with her two little kids once more. A man lunged out of the shadows as the startled mother jumped away. She screamed and struggled to no avail. His knife snuffed her life away. 13 people saw the murder that night, and 13 people turned away. No one wanted to get involved, it was too big a price to pay. In an upstairs apartment, a man and a wife who heard the scream convinced themselves it was only a dream. The rising young businessman came driving by the scene. He took one look and kept going. His clothes had just been cleaned. The landlady up the street who saw the struggle below just turned the other way. She didn't want to know. The young woman shouldn't have died that night. There was help within her reach, but help never came. Who was to blame? I guess we'll never know. Oh, 13 people saw the murder that night, and 13 people turned away. No one wanted to get involved, it was too big a price to pay. Out of the shadows as the startled mother jumped away. She screamed and struggled to no avail. His knife snuffed her life away. Yeah, 13 people saw the murder that night, and 13 people turned away. No one wanted to get involved, it was too big a price to pay. It was too big a price to pay. It was too big a price to pay. 13 people turned away. 13 people turned away.
He thought as he climbed with his ammo and guns of his beautiful childhood, his home, and loved ones. The day was quite warm, and the steps were steep, but his spirit was strong, and his thoughts were deep. From the top of the tower, he could hold out for days. He'd been in the service and knew all the ways. He'd fight all alone with his back to the wall. But how long had he been here? He couldn't recall. He'd been a good husband, good father, good son. He remembered that Dad had taught him the use of a gun. He tried to think, were his buddies all dead? But all he could feel were the pains in his head. From the top of the tower, he could see all around. The people like ants crawling all over the ground. He pulled the trigger. One fell in his tracks. The others just stood there like figures of wax. He looked through his skull. God, how many there are. They're enemies, boy. Now get on with the war. You know you can't win, but you'll give them a good fight. They killed all your buddies. and that isn't right. They scattered like sheep, running every which way. Bertie picked them off one by one, like a child at his play. Where had they come from? And when did they land? Oh, don't think on it, soldier. You don't understand. He knew he'd done right, killing mother and wife. He had saved them from a hell of a life. From the campus below, he hears sirens and shots. But he sticks to his job. And he keeps them from his thoughts. Now a sharpshooter spots him and shoots him down dead, so that he'll never more have those pains in his head. He died fighting. In the tower.
Many men wonder about Juan Rio. Many wondered too much, and they sometimes died. Rio was a southern gunman, and he had that southern pride. I remember when Rio came to town that day, he had a mean look in his eye. Everyone knew that before he was gone, at least one man would die. Now Rio wasn't an outlaw, but he sure had a troubled mind. And if any man wanted to fight and die, Rio was easy to find. He had 16 notches on the guns that he wore, and before he passed on, there would be many more. No one ever bothered Rio's woman. She was his and his alone. One man tried, and that man died as soon as Juan Rio came home. People were saying that Rio was bad, but the man had a lot of good. They said you'd better watch him, 'cause he'd kill you if he could. The last time Rio came to town, he saw the flashing of a meaner gun. You couldn't see a hint of fear in his eye. He was a brave man, he'd never run. Juan Rio fell with his face in the dirt. He was just too brave to run. But when Rio died, they found he had 30 notches on his gun. Juan Rio was very brave, but his own life he couldn't save. And now they're carrying him to his grave. Ballad of Juan Rio.
God, I'm telling you, I got to stop playing these hits because I'm going to lose my credibility here. I'm KBC. This is the Bit Slap, and we've been talking about crime all night. I didn't introduce myself at the beginning because you know. You download these things, right? Okay. We started up top with The Cause of It All, The Little Monster. That was Russ Big Daddy Blackwell. A train robbery, it's told by Levon Helm. Let's see. Transistor Radio was Bongo Joe. Not sure what to make of that one, but there it is. Didn't sound legit to me. Gun-Tote and Critter Called Jack was the Hollywood Argyles. We heard an original Ed Gein song from Dan Dirges. There's a lot of them out there. Albert DeSalvo, not the real one, but Strangler in the Night. That's what the credit says on the single. We heard Laurie Burton and Nightmare. Die, Die, My Darling was Metallica covering, who are those guys? I can't remember. 13 People Turned Away in 1972 from Gene Marshall, referencing Kitty Genovese and that whole messy thing back then. Let's see, Johnny Legend again, that was The Tower. You know what that was in reference to? Steely Dan, a demo version or an alternate mix or something with a gun. And then The Ballad of Juan Rio from Rod Keith and the MSR people. Okay, so if you're going to be involved in crime, you're going to need to you're going to need some help because you can't do it by yourself. Okay, so here, this is where my sponsor comes in, and I'll see you next week.
Have you or a loved one been injured in a fight? Has someone else's face gotten in the way of your foot or flying elbow? Did the barbed wire in your last cage match lead to the heartbreak of hepatitis? I'm Saul Goodman. Whether it's your body or just your feelings that have been hurt, tag me in and I'll fight for you.
I slipped on my opponent's blood and fell out of the ring. As a result, I missed two fights. That's two guys I didn't send to the hospital. Saul Goodman got me the money I deserved.
He's a real fighter, and I'm a real fighter too. But don't take my word for it. Just ask this guy.
Yeah, I got a black eye in the ring. But what really hurt was a sports writer who called me fat, lazy, and said I had a glass jaw, and I don't.
People can't lie about you, especially in the press. Reporters, bloggers, tweeters, even family members who talk too loud at parties. Put me in the legal ring, and I'll fight for you to make them pay. I'm Saul Goodman, and I'll fight for you.
So you better call Saul, or else.
They'll beat you to the emergency room and paint a devastating picture of pain and gloom. He'll hate to hear all about your wreck, but deep down he's kind of happy that you broke your neck. He's almost a doctor, he's worse than a crook. He's the lawyer on the back of your telephone book. He can cry on cue and he can lie to your face. And he can probably get you a bigger neck brace. They haven't made anybody that he won't sue. He'll get the radio station you was listening to. And if picking up your sisters in the police report, he can probably take that to court. Dick Weasel, attorney at law. If you're in a body cast, he's the man to call. He'll sue your boss and your mama and them. He could make a preacher wanna injure him. He'll take him to court. He'll get you the cash. He's the Johnny Cochran of the bull whiplash. He's the slickest lawyer that you ever saw. He'll have you eating jawbreakers through a straw. He's willing to grovel, he's willing to beg. What would you say to a broken leg? If we could get a fake cast put on your hand, that might be worth another $2,000 or $3,000. He'll take him to court and get the money real quick. He'll tell the judge that he's worried sick and find the sawbones to claim that your vertebra's bent. But you'll have to cough up another 10%. Dick Weasel, attorney at law. He's never seen an accidental fall. He'll sue the judge and both of your kids. It couldn't possibly be anything you did. He'll get you the money and he'll get it right now. Slick Dick's gonna show you how. He can make a 12-man jury squall over a compound fracture or some bad coleslaw. Dick Weasel, attorney at law. He's F. Lee Bailey with bigger balls. He'll represent you and work so hard, you'll be sure Dick's gonna get his ass disbarred. And Dick Weasel wants a third of this song.
Don't come looking for salvation if you're drowning.